is the Tom Likas Show.
About a recipe for pancakes.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
You like pancakes?
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. 24/7 at Tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. You and me. At a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show, joining us in studio, criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, good to see you.
Good to see you, Tom.
What's going on?
It is great to see you in studio, Tom. I'm serious. The place is not the same without you.
When it rains, you got to stay in place. You got to shelter in place.
I agree. I've been rather inconvenienced by the rain myself.
Yeah. It's, I know here in L.A. they closed Laurel Canyon a couple of times. And Topanga Canyon was closed.
Malibu Canyon.
Mudslides, rock slides. There's been a cornucopia of disaster.
Yes, but if I'm 5 minutes late to court, the judge will give me a fine.
Of course.
So it doesn't work as well as I'd like it to.
Understood.
Now, Tom, I mean, I'm from a minority, being Jewish and all. But, you know, I'm Caucasian.
Right.
And they were talking about some of this stuff, and this is, like, supposed to be the whole... you know, we don't realize and all this kind of thing what minorities go through, and there's all this systemic racism and whatnot. And I have to say, you know, in my lifetime, I think that things have really changed. I think certainly for the better. I mean, I remember things that, you know, were said rather normally speaking when I was in, like, you know, junior high school or high school about gays, for example, that today would be unthinkable. And the fact that we have, you know, gay marriage in the whole country, but I mean, Alabama too, you know, and it's something that I think was rather unimaginable even 20 years ago, and now it's, you know, fairly routine. And they actually upgraded the forms in California, you know, statewide, where, you know, when you ask for a divorce, you can actually check off the thing, you know, where, you know, we are from the same sex or whatever. I mean, it's like it doesn't mean anything. It's like no problem. It's like routine, but. You know, I've talked many times about how important it is not to talk to the police, you know, in the context of criminal cases. And there's actually a really nice video, which you can check out. I'll send anyone who wants the link. It's on my Facebook, of a professor from a university in Virginia talking about, you know, how no matter what you do, talking to the police is always a mistake. And he actually has a police chief come on as his guest during the lecture, and the guy agrees. The guy's a cop. He says, listen, I'm a cop, but I got to tell you the truth. You know, if you talk to my officers, you're screwing yourself, you know? So he was honest, which I appreciate. But, you know, a lot of times when I've talked to people, and these are people that have been listening to the show for years, it's kind of what you say, Tom, when, you know, one of these guys gets married and has kids and screws his life up with some crazy chick, and you say to him, how long have you been a listener? And he goes, well, I've been listening since 93 or whatever. And you go, you weren't paying attention there, were you? You know, I talk to guys who say, you know, and I've been doing this with you for years now, Tom. And they say, you know, I've been listening to you for many years, Adam. And then I love your show. I listen every week, whatever. Listen to the replays, you know, I download them, whatever. And, you know, but when I got pulled over, I was so scared. I was so freaked out that I signed and I confessed and I did all the things I told, you know, that I was told not to do. And I'm always amazed by that, and I kind of, you know, give the guy a hard time sometimes. I just say, like, I can't believe it, you know? But I think what we have to really recognize is a kind of a cultural aspect. And this is not just something that happens. I mean, I've read statistics, and they talk about these, you know, these new marches and, like, this crazy group, you know, Black Lives Matter, talking about systemic racism, and police are, like, you know, gunning for and executing black men, you know, deliberately. And if you look at the statistics, it's not borne out. It really isn't. You're much more likely, apparently, to be killed by the police if you're white. And, you know, there are these horrible shootings, but those tend to be the exceptions. And black people, apparently, are much more likely to be killed by other black people, in fact, than by the police. The police shootings are actually rather rare. And, in fact, statistically over time, they're actually decreasing, not increasing. And so you kind of wonder where that comes from. And I think some of it is certainly political, but I also have this new client, and he's not going to be coming on. I think he's very kind of shy about all this. I don't want to put him on the spot on the show or whatever. But, you know, he was talking to me about the experience he had where he interacted with the police. He's Hispanic, but, you know, he feels like he's Mexican. He always calls himself a Mexican, but, you know, he's not a Mexican. He was born in America. Seriously, I mean, he's born in L.A. I mean, he's a red, white, and blue American, not naturalized, you know.
But he's a Mexican-American.
Yeah, but I don't know if I would even call him that. To me, he's an American. I mean, he's you know, as much as any of us, right?
I mean, I agree with that, but many Mexican-Americans refer to themselves as Mexican.
That's fine. I mean, I don't, you know.
You grew up in the New York City area. People refer to themselves as Italian or Irish.
I think that's strange. You know, if you say Italian-American or something.
But they don't. They say, I'm Italian.
What,
Irish. I'm Irish.
Are you a Lithuanian-American? I mean, well, that's bullshit. That's
no.
crazy.
Yeah, but the point is, I do know that people do that. They have bumper stickers and license plate frames on their cars talking about, you know, it's not just Mexican-Americans
heritage,
who do it.
Okay. He thinks that the perception of him is as a Mexican. And he gets called, apparently the police called him, or in different instances he was called a wetback, which is obviously meant to be derogatory. And he's very hurt by that. He's very aware of it. And what he said to me, and he talked about some, I guess, experiences in his past, you know, like that are kind of more gritty, you know, where he grew up in a kind of a tough neighborhood, and he had interactions with the police, and the police were very unkind, you know, and he has some kind of a thing where his father was arrested at one point in front of him when he was rather little, you know, so that must be, you know, very upsetting for a child to see their parent getting taken away in handcuffs or whatever, and that the police were beating the father up. They put cuffs on him and they hit him in the stomach or something, you know, to like make him double over, you know. And so this guy had this situation. It's complicated, doesn't matter exactly, you know, in the context of what I'm talking about. But he had a police interaction, and he literally, like shit his pants. He was so scared. He was so petrified. And you know, this is something that I, you know, maybe I should be more aware of, a little more sensitive to. Because I'm saying to people, look, just don't talk, just be polite, you know. Tell the officer, you know, thank you. I'm really waiting for my lawyer to come, you know. And I'm, you know, my experience with police, and they're not angels, I don't think they are, but I mean they're pretty damn professional. And I've always felt, you know, that they were, you know, a little snide, a little nasty, but it's no big deal, and that they were basically, you know, doing their job and filling out the forms. I mean, the police have a very tough job, I think, and I've always acknowledged that. And I think that, you know, I deal with them all the time in court and so forth. And I think by and large, most of them are, you know, fairly decent people. I think they went into law enforcement because they, you know, wanted to do good in the community. I don't think that they went to the police academy thinking, you know, I'm going to get me this gun and I'm going to, you know, shoot me some, you know, whatever. I don't think that that's how they think at all. And, you know, when they do things where they do shoot someone, you see how scrutinized they are. You know, they go over the whole thing, and some of them get charged with crimes, and, you know, it's a really big deal. And our society does, I think, acknowledge it. When they say, you know, do Black Lives Matter, I think, yeah, of course they do. I think that when there are killings, you know, the police tend to get acquitted if they're charged. But I think that's also a function of how people perceive the police and whatnot and the circumstances. But I'd be very surprised to think that any police officer, you know, kisses his wife goodbye and says, you know, goodbye to his children and goes to his shift thinking, I hope I can kill someone today. You know, I'm really looking forward to, you know, bagging me someone today. I find that impossible to accept. You know, maybe there's some bad apples and we have a gigantic country. So we have, you know, tens of thousands, if not more, hundreds of thousands of police officers. It's going to be a couple of assholes. But overall, I think they're a good group. But this guy, being Mexican-American, as it were, his perception is so different. You know, he feels when he's being pulled over that he's being singled out. And I don't know if the policeman is saying it to him or indirectly or something, but he's so sensitive to it. He's so, I mean, hypersensitive. And, I don't know if I want to be judgmental and say that he's oversensitive, but it's something that really, really upsets him and really puts him on notice. And he ends up falling to pieces, Tom. It's terrible. I mean, he's literally, you know, he feels humiliated. He feels like the cop is trying to, like, embarrass him and humiliate him in front of his family or his friends or whatever. And then he has, like, PTSD. He has, like, all these flashbacks, you know, from when he was a little child and with them beating up his father, which, you know, even from some of the stories, you know, his father sounds like a pretty bad guy. So I'm not so sure that the police just suddenly beat him up for no reason. You know, the context of what happened to the father that he saw is complex. I think that maybe the father was being screwed up, and maybe the police, you know, got tough on him for a reason. I don't think that the police tend to, you know, freak out for no reason. I think they're very aware of their own safety, and I think that there are a lot of instances, and especially when you talk about coming into a house with domestic violence going on, when they get a domestic violence call, the police know that the potential for the people to attack them and to get crazy and not to be rational is very, very high. And as I've said on the show many times, a lot of police end up getting killed or injured in just routine traffic stops. It's unbelievable how many people get pulled over for a freaking speeding ticket. And you just take the ticket and that's the end of it. Who cares? Deal with it. And they end up, you know, literally the police end up having all kinds of crazy, crazy things happen where they get, you know, suddenly it escalates and the guy pulls a gun and all that kind of stuff. You know, things happen fast. And, you know, now that we have videos, there are so many videos on YouTube of police, you know, pulling someone over for what seems like nothing and everything seems very normal and fine. And suddenly, you know, it can escalate crazy where people end up, you know, getting killed and run over and all kinds of crazy stuff. But what I really think is important for people, and this is, to me, the real connection to criminal law, I think that you have to be able to not bring all that baggage to every interaction. I mean, seriously, if you're double parked, and this happened to this guy, and the cop comes and says to him, this is actually something that happened to him like a few years ago or something, the cop came and said, hey, you're parked illegally, can you move the car right now? And instead of just saying fine and moving the car, he started arguing with the cop and saying, you know, that he had a right to be here and he needs to be double parked because he's picking something up or something. And what ended up happening is that it ended up escalating and the cop ended up getting really upset. And then the cop finally started shouting at him, okay, asshole, give me your license and registration, and, you know, kind of got more threatening, pulled him out of the car, you know, wrote him up for a lot of stuff, was starting to look like he was going to, like, arrest him maybe. And I think what people don't recognize is that, you know, you have to, you know, look at the circumstance. And, you know, if you're really being a non-compliant and antagonistic, you know, you're going to get that back. There's some kind of idea, and this is a mistake, I think, that the police are on some level not human, you know? I mean, you see it. I've been amazed. There are a couple of videos of people that are carrying on like animals and screaming at the police. And the policemen, they're trained, obviously, but they're trying to remain calm. And I've been amazed. There was one cop in Australia. It was all on video. He had one of those dash cams, which I think is a great thing, by the way, that they capture these things, because then there's no doubt about what happened. But he pulled over a Muslim woman who was completely covered with her hijab on her face and everything. And she started screaming at him and, like, hitting him and carrying on. She says to him, you know, the only reason that you pulled me over is because you're Islamophobic and you're a racist and you hate Muslim women and you're trying to rape me. And he is just, calm down, ma'am. Please sit down. You know, let me see your license. You know, please don't. And she starts hitting him and he goes, ma'am, please, ma'am, don't strike me. I mean, the guy was so disciplined, you know, you got to give him credit. But I think if you're going to do that, if you're going to pull a scene, you're taking a big chance. And you might end up with a cop who's a rookie, you know, he's not as well trained, or he's not as patient, or who knows? I mean, life is very strange, you know, it's very unpredictable. You know, you don't know this guy. Maybe he got into a fight with his wife last night, and he's going into work today pissed off. Not at you. He's mad about something else. And you just start hassling, and he just loses his mind. That's something that can happen. And, you know, some of these behaviors, I've been amazed at how the cops showed so much restraint. But I think that there's something that you have to recognize that you can push also too far. And, you know, I've mentioned when you get pulled over, it's always smart when the cop comes to your car, you know, roll down the window, put your hands on the steering wheel. I mean, because hands kill, so the cops want to see your hands. And you don't do anything too fast. You know, you say to the cop, he says, you know, I want to see your registration. You say, officer, you know, I have my registration. It's in the glove compartment, and I'm going to go get it. Is that okay? You know, you actually speak that way. Is that okay? You know, I once had a cop start seeming to be getting, like, angry at me, kind of, like, frustrated. Like, his voice was getting a little strange with me, like, a little harsh. And I said to him, officer, I'm trying to comply. Tell me what you want me to do. I'm not resisting you. And it completely calmed him down. Just saying that to him, where I said, look, I'm trying to comply. I don't understand exactly what you want, but I'm trying to comply. I'm not resisting. Tell me what you want me to do. And that just showed him, look, I'm not fighting. I think there are too many people, and I've definitely seen this. This is perhaps cultural, and again, this is this kind of expectation and PTSD thing that I'm talking about, where they, you know, you're having all this baggage, where the cop pulls someone over, and the guy immediately is like, you know, what the hell are you pulling me over for? I didn't do nothing. You're doing this because of, you know, because I got a hot car, or because I'm, you know, whatever race I am, or whatever background I am, or whatever. And I mean, that's really, really foolish. I've seen that in a lot of police reports, where the police note that, that the suspect was belligerent, and the suspect said, you know, immediately, that quote, you know, that the racism and blah, blah. And, I mean, that ends up turning the cop against you. That ends up turning the case against you, because they are trained to write everything down, and plus it's videoed nowadays and all this. And so, you know, you're going to go to court, and everyone, the prosecutor, the judge, they're all going to read all this crap that you did. And even if you were relatively okay and relatively innocent, you're going to come off like an asshole. And it definitely has a big effect. I mean, there's definitely a lot of subjectivity, not only racially, but racially too. But there's also a lot of subjectivity in the criminal justice system. Now, we know that's true because it's statistically a fact. And something you talk about, Tom, that women get lighter sentences for everything. That's, you know, that's true.
Right.
I mean, that's
and as a result, they pay lower insurance rates.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was even talking about, you know, yeah, absolutely true with traffic and cars. But, I mean, I was talking about criminal cases. You know, you don't have to open up the tabloids and look at these teachers, these female teachers, you know, who have sex with a 14-year-old and end up, you know, they're really good looking and everyone feels sorry for them and they end up getting probation. And if it's exactly the other foot, where the older male teacher is having an affair or whatever you want to call it, molesting a 14-year-old girl, then he gets 30 years in jail. And that's not a joke. That happens all the time. And the perception for, you know, in terms of our criminal justice system is different. And on some level, I mean, you know, if I had to tell someone who was from a minority group or someone who was black or whatever it is, you know, in terms of their interaction with police, I think I would tread very carefully. But I would also try not to be, you know, overreactive and try not to be stupid. What this guy was telling me also, Tom, this is a killer. I remember seeing when I was a teenager, Boys in the Hood. Did you ever see that one?
I did.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
I was very shocked by it at the time. And what the story in there was that there was this black cop who was very, very cruel to blacks. He interacted with the heroes of the movie, and he was incredibly sadistic. And what this guy was telling me, this client of mine who's Hispanic, is that he fares much worse with a Hispanic officer, which I find unbelievable. So in other words, when he meets his fellow Hispanic, who happens to be the police officer in this case, and, you know, which ought to be a good thing if they're doing community policing, you have some of the people, you know, theoretically from the community who speak the language and understand the culture and stuff, and if they're interacting, you know, in Spanish or he relates to the guy, apparently the fact that this guy who, you know, might be perfectly reasonable with a Caucasian, the fact that he's a Hispanic officer interacting with a Hispanic, you know, citizen or suspect or whatever, he ends up being 10 times harder on him. And this is something that they really perceive. You know, I would have thought, oh, thank God, you know, in my case, at least the judge is Jewish, you know, he's going to give me a break, you know. But apparently, from their point of view, now, by the way, I don't know if that really works, but that's just a thought. But in this case here, you have this Hispanic officer, and the perception is, oh, my God, I'm going to get 10 times more screwed because he's Hispanic, because he's going to be hostile to other Hispanics. I find that's incredible. You know, that's a lose-lose-lose.
Yeah.
And in that movie, that, like I said, this African American older kind of officer was incredibly hard and nasty and disgusting towards the guys in the movie, and it was like they were really petrified of a black officer. And in fact, the white officer, it was like two, it was the black officer with a white partner. The white partner grabbed the black partner and kind of calmed him down. You know, he was like shocked by how far he went, you know, and he pulled him over and said, "Stop it, man. What are you doing? You're going crazy," you know. And it was almost like the white guy moderated the craziness of this black officer. And I don't know if that's true in real life, but it may be true. And, you know, we are entering a very new phase, you know, in terms of this. You're starting to, you know, talk about politics on the show and so forth. I mean, the tone of things is certainly going to be a lot more conservative. And conservatives, you know, Trump or whoever it is, tend to be, you know, Republicans tend to be more kind of like law and order, right? And, you know, more police and stricter sentences and, you know, no more slap on the wrist bullshit justice. You know, they want to see harsher punishment. And this goes not just to, you know, what they talk about a lot, the enforcement of immigration law and everything, which is apparently going to be a priority. But this is something that also filters down, you know, through the ranks, you know, on the regular day-to-day kind of things. And, you know, if you're thinking about life in a big city like New York and so forth, or L.A. or whatever, Chicago, I mean, we have just seen a lot of lawlessness. Now, Tom was right. He talked about the Women's March, which was, you know, past couple of days. And that apparently was fairly peaceful. It was pretty strange. There were so many women, Tom, dressed as vaginas, or they had like the
yes.
They had a
and a lot of guys who didn't have to dress as vaginas.
Well, that was easy. Those guys, you knew what they were up to.
That's right.
I didn't see too many guys, but whatever. There was one woman who had this pink hat on and a pink thing on her chin, and she said, "Oh, I'm the vagina, and my nose is the clitoris." I thought that was brilliant.
My only problem was that the NFL playoffs were on Sunday. A lot of guys would have enjoyed those games we played on Saturday.
Oh, too bad, too bad. I don't know who scheduled that one.
I know.
Well, at least we have TiVo or whatever, right? You can,
exactly,
like, watch it later. But, yep. You know, the real riots happened at the inaugural. And they show this people smashing Starbucks or whatever. That's the all-American thing to do, apparently. But, you know, this is something that is going to be dealt with very harshly. This is a little tidbit from my past, but I actually am licensed in Washington, D.C., because I used to live there. And they really mean business. There's a special thing for violence committed during riots. And they arrested about 250 people or something. And, Tom, they throw the book at you. You get 10 years for doing that. So even if Trump gets 2 terms, these people are still going to be in jail
when
it's all over, if you can believe it. That's not a joke. That's 250 people. That's unbelievable. I don't know if all of them are going to get the max, but, I mean, it's bad. It's really bad. But I think the part of the lesson from this, you know, you have this kind of civil discontent and civil confusion and whatever. And, you know, this is something that is going to filter down from the Justice Department and so forth, that this is going to be less and less tolerated. And, you know, Tom, you were talking about free speech. I mean, you know, free speech is it's a relative thing. You know, when I was in law school, they started talking about this new thing, which was hate speech, you know. That if you said something that was hateful, that hurt someone's feelings, you know, that's, you know, not covered by the First Amendment, apparently, or it shouldn't be or something. And you were talking about Madonna's statement that she felt she was thinking a lot about blowing up the White House or whatever.
Right.
You know, that's actually a federal offense, Tom. That doesn't go under free speech. I mean, you can say it, good for you, but it is a crime.
But isn't there a difference between saying, I had a dream about doing it,
yeah,
or I'm going to do it?
No. It is a crime.
It's a crime to say you had a dream.
It is a crime to threaten the president.
No, I didn't say threaten the president. I said you said you had a dream about
it. I understand. I think when you go
How is that a threat?
When you go down that road, okay, and you start saying shit like that, you are going to get a visit from the Secret Service.
You might get a visit, but they're never going to prosecute her for
that. They're not going to prosecute her because the same reason that O.J. got acquitted, okay? Celebrities get away with stuff in our society. But there is a woman I saw from Kentucky who said something like, if someone could assassinate Martin Luther King, then hopefully someone can assassinate Trump. Did you catch that one? That was a tweet.
I saw more than one of those.
Well, she lost her job, and she got a visit from the Secret Service, and they're like, keeping track of her. She's on a list or something.
Right, but she has not been prosecuted,
yeah,
and is not in prison.
I think she won't be. I think that you have to go a little further than just talking shit or whatever.
Right.
But I think you have to recognize that this is a different kind of political time. I mean, it's really weird. There was a show on CNN with Wolf Blitzer, and this was on the 19th, like the day before the inaugural, and they were saying that if Trump was assassinated today, then Obama would name his successor or something. It was like, what are these people talking about? They're really talking about, in hopeful terms almost, that the president will be assassinated, which is a disgusting thought. Seriously, I mean, I didn't like Obama as a president, but I wouldn't want him to be assassinated. I don't want the country to go through that. That's horrible.
Well, anyone who remembers when we have had a politician assassinated, whether it was a president like Kennedy or whether it was a senator like Kennedy or George Wallace.
Well, I was thinking about Reagan getting almost assassinated. I was horrified when that happened. That was when I was growing up.
Right. Well, I understand. But we had many
figures
shot. And in fact, between 1963 and 1972, it was quite a high number.
Yeah, there was the Pope and Anwar Sadat from Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I just remember growing up, I was 14 or something, but I remember Reagan very clear. And I remember just absolutely being stunned that could even theoretically happen. That was unbelievable to me. And for people to be talking about this kind of violence in our society that, we gotta get rid of Trump and he's a Nazi and he's so bad that we should kill him, he should be killed. It's like, oh my God, that's just awful. And I think that filters in our society that we're gonna solve our problems with violence and confrontations and so forth. And I think there are a lot of people that really believe that. I mean, the country is very divided. And so I think that especially people today should be very, very hyper aware of this. And you know the interaction, you know the story, and I know it's humiliating, especially for certain mentality of macho person to get a cop pull you over and dress you down in front of your family or friends or whatever. But I really think that the alternative of, doing something really stupid and ending up, ending up with me going to court and trying to help you and trying to get you a deal or trying to, write a brief and get it dismissed that ends up costing you a lot of money and time and energy, blood, sweat, and tears, I think that's a shame. And I really am trying to have my radar. It's supposed to be, I don't believe in exactly this, but it's supposed to be what they call white privilege, which is that I don't really understand this because I'm white and I haven't had to deal with discrimination. Well, I don't think that's true. I think I've been discriminated against for things that I am, as a minority or whatever. But, I try not to make that the most important thing in my life. But I do understand what it's like to be discriminated against. And whether I do or I don't, I do recognize that discrimination exists. And I think that if you're a member of a minority group and you're, in one of these groups that people are, allegedly, supposedly looking for, hassling or whatever, I'm really sorry, but you have to calm down. You have to try to play the game. And I really think that you should be very aware of your interactions and how they're going to be interpreted and how the other side is going to look at them. And if you are a black male and you get pulled over, don't screw around. Put your hands on the wheel, Don't make any sudden movements because, unfortunately, you may really, interact with an officer who, even if he's not an outright Nazi, he may have some racist tendencies, and I think everyone does to some degree. And so when he sees that you're a black kid or you're under 25 and you're black or whatever the story, the kind of car you have or the types of the bumper sticker or you have tinted windows or whatever, some stereotypical things, he sees you kind of hanging around talking to your friends on the street corner, he may not think, hey, it's just innocent kids. He might think that you're a drug dealer or something. And you have to be, kind of attuned to that and recognize that and not be stupid on your side. And, then when it all comes down, just, show your hands. Here's my hands. I'm not doing anything aggressive. Please, officer, I'm cooperating. I want my lawyer here. And, at that point, shut up. That's the bottom line.
Let's take a break here. We'll come back with Adam Sachs and your phone calls. Criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs is here to answer your questions about the law If you have legal questions, now is the time to call in. And all you need to do is dial this number right now, 901-3000-TOM. That's the number, 901-3000-TOM. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. Call in right now and talk to Adam at 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. The bonus hour with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs at 901-3000-TOM. That's our number. 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-866. John in Lake Forest, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, Adam? What's going on, Tom?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, just calling. About 3 weeks ago, I got a ticket for out here in California in Huntington Beach for being on my cell phone. I was looking up directions. I was in Huntington Beach, which I'm usually not in. I was looking for directions to get back home. And I have a hands-free, one of those little brackets that you put on your AC vent. I was putting in the directions on my phone, about to put it on there, and I didn't see there was a cop next to me, and he pulled me over.
Too easy,
I showed him
too
my
map.
I said, yeah, I showed him my maps. I said, hey, I'm looking for directions.
Yeah.
He said, I'm sorry, I have to have a hands-free set. I said, I do have one. I was literally about to put it on there, and still gave me a ticket. I finally got the fine in the mail, and it's only like $200, which isn't much, but still, I mean, I was looking up freaking maps. I'm not too stupid to text and drive, or you know, and I have Bluetooth to call. So it's
A second, though, Adam.
You know,
they changed that law the 1st of January, didn't they?
Yeah, but it sounds like his ticket's from last year.
Yeah, my ticket's from last year. What changed with the new year?
What did I tell you, Tom? It's all details.
Look at that.
Well,
what happened, Tom?
Tom is absolutely correct, as always. On the beginning of the year, the new law came in with respect to what you're talking about, that it's now stricter, that they don't want you looking at your phone for maps or anything else. But your ticket sounds like it's from a few months ago, so you were still in 2016, which was generally with respect to using the phone to talk to someone and so forth. Now, it's a pretty small ticket. It's only $200. Like you said, and that because that's the first one. If you had a few of them, it gets to be more and more. But
no, I never have
the first ticket, and then also it doesn't. I don't think it doesn't make any points. It's not like going to hurt your insurance. Okay, so I could talk to you about this, you know, off the show or whatever. But if you got the guts, I would go to court and tell the court what you told us, that you were looking at Google Maps because you were lost. And here's your Bluetooth, and you use a headset. You're totally in compliance with the law, and I think the judge will, you know, give you a pass.
Yeah, because I was thinking about printing out my phone records and showing that there's no text at the time that they pulled me over. There's no text. There's no phone calls.
There you go.
So obviously, I wasn't, you know, doing that. And I have a screenshot. I took a screenshot of the maps right after the cop left.
All right.
Just to, you know, potentially cover myself.
You could be overthinking it a little, but okay. It sounds like you got a pile of evidence.
Yeah, one of the things that I was kind of wondering about is when I got that fine, it gave me two options. It gave me the option to just pay off the fine or go to driving school. Why would I want to go to driving school?
No. Go fight. Fight. I told you. I mean, I could do it for
but
you, but I don't know if it would
be stupid.
You can only do traffic school once every 18 months or whatever. And so they want you to work it off. But you're not at the point that you're going to get any points for it, I think. The first and second offense are not. But I'm telling you, and everyone has to be aware of this, you know, you're under the wire because it was last year. But now the whole interaction with the phone is not allowed, even if it's maps and so forth.
You can't be holding the phone.
That's
what I heard. You can't be holding.
Well, how are you going to even dial it? I don't even know.
So you can't get into that argument with the cop. Yeah. I wasn't texting anyone. I was just looking at the phone.
All right. So I've got a Tesla, right? And the Tesla has like an iPad right in the front that you control it with, right? So if I'm futzing around with that map on that, how is that any worse?
No, it isn't.
How's that any worse than someone with a phone in their hand? And that's, I think that's okay to do, right,
How
Tom?
About the people who are scrolling through lists of MP3s and deciding what track they're going to listen to? Right? You can do that, too, on a Tesla.
Oh, that's really asking for it.
But you're not touching a phone.
Well,
even if you have it on that bracket on the little hands-free device thing.
Yeah, cops don't like that either.
Are you not allowed to look up? You're not allowed to look up addresses on that as well?
I don't think so. I think you're not supposed to interact with your phone at all.
So people that do Uber and like Postmates and all that, they're pretty much fucked.
I have never been in an Uber where the driver wasn't putzing around with the phone the whole time. And he's checking his next route.
Yeah, most of them have
two
phones.
Yeah, but they're playing with them.
They've got one as the map and the other to take new calls from the next people they're going to pick up.
All I can tell you is they're breaking the law, apparently. I think the cop got you also because he was right there. But my impression is that this is a law that's not being very strictly enforced, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, that's what the cop told me, because I showed him. I was like, hey, I'm on my maps. And he's like, unfortunately, it's like zero tolerance now.
You never argue.
This and that. And I told him I was on my
map. Don't argue with the cop. I told you 100 times. I don't know why people do
this. No, I didn't argue with him. I didn't argue with him. I just showed him. You know, I was being really polite. Anytime I get pulled over, like you said, anytime you get pulled over, don't say much and just be, you know, I have my hands on the steering wheel.
I'd say don't say anything.
I don't fuck around.
Don't say anything. And I'm glad you're taking my advice. But when he starts writing you up, you don't say, well, you know, just shut up. Just take the ticket and go.
Yeah.
Life's too short, you know? You don't need to get into a pissing conversation. And by the way, it does something else, which is that it makes him remember you. The best thing you want when you go to court, which is going to be months later, is that the cop has been with so many different motorists, he doesn't remember you at all. So he doesn't really have any reason to hate your guts, and he doesn't care. But I go in, and the cop says to me, you know, your client was really nasty. I remember that asshole. You know? Then forget it. Then you're screwed. Then he's going to make sure you get convicted, you know? Otherwise, he doesn't have any investment in it. The cops don't get a bonus for tickets, you know? They don't get, like, extra money for writing more tickets. So they don't care. They really don't. But if you make them care by pissing them off, then they're going to get their little revenge on you, which is to make sure your ticket sticks. So that makes no sense.
Got it. All right. Sounds good. Yeah, I just wanted to get, because I looked up online in regards to, you know, having the reason to go into driving school for that ticket. And I was like, it's stupid. If it doesn't count towards your DMV record and it doesn't count towards your insurance, I mean, why do they even trick you into going to driving school if it's a non-moving violation? It didn't make any sense. But maybe, I thought maybe I was missing something on there. But, yeah, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to print out my records and just go in there and tell them, hey, you know, listen, I was on – here's a screenshot. Here's my phone records. I was truly looking at a map. I live in Irvine. I was in Huntington Beach. I didn't know, you know, how to get back home from there. So, you know, I was using a map to look how to get back home. So hopefully they'll drop it. And if not, like I said, it's only $200, but still – kind of bullshit. You know, if I was texting, I would have just sucked up and paid the $200 because I did fuck up, but I was truly looking at a map, and I have, you know, like I said, a screenshot and everything showing that.
John, great call. Thank you.
Very good. Keep in touch.
Appreciate it. 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs and your phone call. 901-3000-TOM. Call us right now at 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. At 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-866. Oh, we got some great calls here.
All right.
Here's Tony in Rohnert Park, California. Tony, you're on with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Dad. Hey, Adam. How you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Good.
Hey, kid. Hey, I had a question about DUIs and something you always talk about in terms of, like, getting pulled over by the cops and stuff. From what I remember, you always say, you know, don't do the field sobriety.
Right.
Don't do the breathalyzer. Just stick to the blood test.
You have to understand the field sobriety test, you're going to fail, period. It's completely up to the cop. So you're going to fail. People say, oh, I think I did okay. No, you didn't. And as far as the blow test, that machine is a piece of junk. And it comes up with very, very inaccurate readings. So I always say to demand the blood test. Definitely.
Okay. Okay. So question about when taking the blood test, I wanted to know, do they test for other things? If, say, for example, I got high and did a bunch of cocaine 2 days before and still in my system.
Nope.
Is that going to come up?
Nope. Not usually, no. The only way that that would be an issue would be if they suspect you of something else. So, for example, let's say you've been pulled over and they search your car, which happens sometimes, and they find drug paraphernalia or they find marijuana pipes and whatnot. The cop smells marijuana. That might then lead to that. You see what I'm saying? But it's
okay.
Not something that they're
so
normally going to be able to do. Well, they can't just test you.
Test for it?
Yeah, but they can't just test you for, you know, LSD and heroin and everything. You know, that's not appropriate.
Okay, gotcha. So if they found something suspect in my vehicle that would lead them to believe something else other than alcohol, then they could look into that.
Well, yeah, there it is, because, you know, you have what's called probable cause, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't carry that stuff in my car anyway, because...
What stuff are we talking about here?
You bet. Like weed. Like
okay.
Weed.
Well,
yeah, no, because if I do, it's in the trunk,
with
like
respect,
vacuum sealed.
I understand. With respect to weed, do you have a prescription? Because that's a good idea.
I don't.
Do you live in a state that allows for marijuana?
Not currently, no.
What's
so you don't live in California?
Where do you live?
Not anymore. I'm from California. I'm currently living in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay, so Arizona's tough. Listen, Arizona is a very strict state. I'm actually licensed there, and the laws in Arizona are harsh. So be aware of it. Be careful, okay? I mean, you don't want to deal with that.
I just moved here, and they're saying that DUIs here are really, really, like, really, really tough here.
Yes.
Like, they're no joke.
I couldn't agree more. And the law and the punishments and everything are different. And if you remember, there was that crazy sheriff, Arpaio, who would make you live in, like, a tent city and eat dog shit for food and all this. And in Arizona heat, don't forget. So I don't want to tangle with the law in Arizona.
Arpaio, though, is...
he's out now, I think.
He's in custody.
Oh, well. Happens to the best of
us. Investigation.
When I got my license in Arizona, you'll appreciate this. In Phoenix, I went to the Supreme Court of Arizona, and I met the judges of the Supreme Court and the chief judge, and I met a bunch of just regular judges, and they were all telling anecdotes and jokes and stories about how long they sentenced people to. And one judge was saying, with a laugh, I gave this guy 900 years. And the other one said, I gave a guy 1,000 years. And this was, like, hilariously funny to these judges. Can you imagine? That's Arizona, so watch out.
Jeez. I definitely will, and I appreciate the advice.
Yes.
And obviously, try not to drive junk at all, but...
Be a good boy.
Even just without... I just worried, like, I had, like, 2 drinks, and, you know...
I understand.
I need to drive my car, and, I just been like...
Get an
Uber. I don't want to do the field sobriety or anything like that, because 2 drinks, and that could pop up on the breathalyzer. Adam says don't do that anyway, even if you haven't been drinking or whatever, so...
I would say also, when you think about it, in general, if you're going to smoke marijuana, you know, do it in your house. Getting into your house is a much more complex thing for the police, and they have to have a lot more reason to search your house than to search your car. And smoking while you're driving is probably pretty stupid anyway. So, you know, marijuana I would keep in my house and smoke it, you know, in the house and, you know, not upset anybody that's going to, you know, cause you to end up getting in trouble for it, especially in a state where it's illegal.
Got it. Thank you so much. I appreciate
For sure.
it. Can you blow me up, Tom?
I can. Here you go. 901-3000. Tom, that's our telephone number. Jose has an interesting question on the Tom Likas show for Adam. Hello.
Tom, hey, Adam. How's it going?
Hey, Jose. What's going on?
Well, a situation happened 2 weeks ago. I live in an apartment building, 20 units. And there was some kind of police situation going on across the street in a house. You know, the helicopter had been flying over my head since early morning. About 6 p.m., they come to the door. Police are knocking. They say, we have to evacuate the building.
Wow.
Due to your safety. And I'm like, fuck. And I'm with my family. We were watching the playoff games. And I was like, I was really bothered by it because I was like, once I mean, I was thinking about it after I left. I was like, why the fuck are we out here?
Didn't so this know is something we come. You had nothing to do with.
Absolutely nothing. And okay. They evacuated the entire building.
Okay.
And all they said was, this is for your safety. This is in case the bullets start flying.
Okay.
And I'm all like, we're out here in the alley in front of, practically in front of the house.
Okay.
How is this safer than being in my own house?
I know, but so I'm sorry to tell you, but when this kind of thing happens, you gotta do what the cops say, you know?
Even if you're in your own home.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. I mean, you really want to fight the point. I guess you're right, you don't have to, technically. But when they talk about something like, a dangerous situation, I don't know, we don't even know what the story is, but if someone was getting shot or they were chasing a bank robber or something, I mean, they have some discretion to tell you to evacuate a building. Sure, why not?
How different is that then from when there's, like, flooding?
Yeah.
Or the fires, and you see the homeowners.
They're these crazy. Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. The police come and they tell you, we're evacuating the neighborhood. Let's go get in the boats. And some asshole wants to stay in his house, right? He ends up getting killed. So I don't see how that's a brilliant thing to do. I think that generally speaking, when it's public safety, or when it's like a flood or whatever you're talking about, the police could arrest you. But they tend to let you stay. If you want to stay, they tell you, come on, please. And if you really being a jerk, they've got other people to save. They'll let you drown, But
right,
there is definitely a wide discretion. I'm not talking about the police singling you out. But if there really is a bona fide emergency of some kind, there's a person who's shooting or whatever, the police can do things. They can go into your house. They can take you out. You have children. They're trying to protect your family and so forth. What's your thinking? You want to contradict
them?
Well,
the thinking was, this was at 6 p.m. at night. It was 50 degrees outside.
Yeah.
I had to go to work the next day.
I understand
day.
It's
they
inconvenient.
Didn't give us the timeline.
I understand.
But when were we going to get back?
Maybe they didn't
know.
Ultimately. Maybe they didn't know what was going to happen.
Right. Well, the situation was, apparently some guy ran into somebody's house and he had barricaded himself.
Yeah.
And the SWAT team was in front of that place.
So you want to stay there? You want to be in the middle of that bullshit? Come on. You got
to
be fair.
No, but it exposed us to the outside where that was happening.
I know.
Not inside our 20-unit building,
It seems to me that if there were bullets flying, then maybe they could go through the walls or something. I don't know what they were thinking. I have
That's
to say,
exactly what I'm thinking. Yeah,
unless
yeah.
you were singled out, I'm just saying, if you were singled out because you were black or Jewish or whatever, but if they just said to you, come on, everybody out of the building is dangerous, I don't know. I think you got to do what they say. I really do. I think you got to try to work with, you live in a civil society, You can't just go off on your own tangent whenever you want. And if there's really a serious danger, you're probably best off complying because they're trying to help you,
Well, could I be prosecuted for staying in my home?
I don't know. Were you prosecuted?
No, I didn't. I left. This is something that afterwards I was mulling over. Should I just have stayed? Could they have done? That's like I was waiting
if
for
you
this,
really,
for today
if you,
just to ask you this question.
I understand, but if you're a survivalist and you really believe in this, then you should get, 100 acres in rural, Idaho or something, and no one from the police will ever bother you, If you live in a 20-apartment building, you're going to have interactions with other people. If some assholes in the neighborhood, shooting or barricading, I think it's fair for the cops to ring on your doorbell and say, come on, you guys, we've got to get you out of here for your own safety. I wouldn't be angry at them at all. I think they're trying to protect you.
Jose, thank you so much. Here is Wesley in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Wesley, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, what's up, Tom? Hey, Adam. How you guys doing?
Okay. Hey, Wesley. How you doing? What's up?
Not too bad. I tuned in kind of late, so, turned the app on, I kind of caught you guys right in the middle of the discussion with the Women's March and what was going on in D.C. and, how the country's kind of divided. So, there's probably a couple things that I might have missed. But, my personal opinion, people were saying, that the country's divided over Trump being elected. Personally, I feel sort of different. I feel like the division has always been there.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's
out
in the open.
Oh, that's true. Now, listen, America's been divided for a long time, but they're trying to say today, not just because of Trump, but in general, that things are more intense and more extreme, more partisan. The blue states and the red states, that kind of thing.
Honestly, people think, and then you got people that say, oh, well, we got to get him out of office because he represents racism, blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right.
Look, even if Hillary Clinton won, the racism still won't be there anyway. because I don't really think that racism is something that the Clintons are above anyway. But like, we'll do that another day.
Well, I mean, listen, the Clintons were, you know, licking the ass of the Saudis and the Emirates and the Qataris, and those are extremely racist and anti-women regimes, right? And you know,
yeah,
look what Bill did to
yeah,
but look what Bill did to the women that he had affairs with. He went bananas against them and so forth. So you know, no one was without sin. I mean, you know, Trump has said and done apparently some stupid things, but I guess that's life. And the American people, in the end, were able to overlook that in some way. What are you gonna do?
I mean, it really, like, the fact that he's elected really doesn't bother me. Because I mean, like, okay, he might not have been, like, as far as racism goes, like, look, I might not have been a big fan of him. I wasn't a big fan of the Clintons because, you know, mass incarceration of the 90s and then the whole shit with Haiti. But, you know.
No, I don't know. How I don't see how Trump is a racist. I missed that part. Who's he racist against?
Well, I mean, also, like, for me, like, one of the things that made me believe he was a racist is, like, I looked into that housing discrimination case in the 70s, and then it's like, that's pretty clear. And dude even settled.
My understanding,
now,
again, and by the way,
the
Tom talked about this with his father, Fred Trump, who also was a developer. You know, they had certain mentalities that were in the past of neighborhoods and stuff, and it's a lot different, I'm sorry to say, in New York. I mean, I grew up in a neighborhood that was 100% white, and there were other neighborhoods that were 100% black, and that's not right, but that is definitely something in the past. And so Trump got sued in, what, the 70s, and they got settled or something? That makes him a racist?
Yeah, and then
I'm
on
not
top
sure.
of that, like, weren't there also, like, cases, like, recently where he was getting in trouble for making discriminatory comments about some of his black and Hispanic customers in his casinos? I mean,
I don't know.
Honestly, like, if that's how he is, like, I the way I see it, there's been racist people in the country.
It's very hard
one.
To accept. You know, I'll tell you something. He made that Mar-a-Lago, which he bought from the Post family, right, the cereal family. And there was a time when country clubs did not allow any Jews or any blacks. And the first thing he did with Mar-a-Lago is he opened it to everyone to be members. So, I mean, I don't know. He's such a racist. It's very hard to accept. But however it is, I think Tom's right. I think, you know, he's the elected president, and we got to hope that he succeeds because it's good for the country if he does. You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, like, I'm not here to, like, say, oh, my God, it's so horrible that he's in there, because – whether he's in there or not, the racism in the country is always is going to be there regardless.
I don't think it's
only
the country.
Now,
I got to tell you, I think, honestly, I think the United States is one of the least racist countries in the world. Okay? I've been to other countries where people are unbelievably racist. And, you know, Tom talks about Boston, where they're always like, you know, who are you? What are you? I couldn't believe how much of that I got in other places. You know, in other countries of the world, like in Russia, for example, some of the Arab countries, some of the Asian countries, very class conscious, very conscious of backgrounds and so forth. And, you know, I talk to people every day, and I don't know what the hell they are. I don't know if they're Irish or Italian, or who cares? You know, I think that America is actually not so bad at all. And I think in terms of women's rights, women couldn't possibly have more rights than they do in the United States. So I think a lot of this stuff is just nonsense. I really do. I think it's just to control us and to confuse us and to waste our time and distract us. I think that's the truth. Seriously. I don't think we should be as divided as we appear to be or whatever, and I hope that there's less of it, to tell you the truth.
Wesley, thank you so much. Last call this hour, Damon in Las Vegas. You're on with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hello, Dad. Hello, Uncle Adam.
Hey,
hello,
what's up, Damon? How's everything?
Everything is great. Thank you.
What's going on? My nephew.
Hey, man. I want to first say, Adam, and I don't want to kiss your ass too much, but I've learned so much from you being on the show. No, honestly.
Thank you.
Like,
I'm happy to hear it.
And about how to handle yourself with law enforcement, with the police. Because my parents, I mean, they told me to be polite,
right.
You know, but they told me absolutely nothing about how to handle myself with
right.
law enforcement.
Maybe they didn't know, you know. It's different,
they
right?
They really didn't. As I've gotten older, I learned they are pretty ignorant. But,
yeah,
I mean, when it comes to...
No, I mean, your parents can be great people and not know about this. That's, you know, it's possible.
Exactly.
Doesn't
exactly.
mean anything. That's, nothing that they did on purpose, I'm sure.
Right. That's what it is. What I want to ask you is, I'm a model citizen, okay?
Okay.
I have no intentions of ever...
getting in trouble.
I know,
with
but
the
you
law.
Know something. It's funny how many people call me and they say to me, I've never got in trouble, and I can't believe this happened, you know?
Well, I'll be honest. I mean,
anything could happen.
Tickets, yeah. You know. But,
I don't mean that, but I mean, you'd be amazed that people screw things up by accident, you know?
Okay. Well, I mean, this is more, my concern is more kind of like, I know people, I have friends, relatives who have got arrested and then they spend days in jail.
Yeah.
And they haven't been able to contact their lawyer or contact anyone. And It seems like to me that their rights have been taken from them.
Yes,
because
I'm sure that's true.
We were entitled to a phone call or something like representation.
Well, let's face it, you know, if you have more money in our society, you do better, you know? And somebody who gets arrested and the family immediately, you know, posts the bail, which might be a lot of money, and they hire an attorney, so you have a private lawyer and so forth, you're going to end up with a much better situation. You're going to get treated a lot better than somebody who doesn't have connection like that and doesn't have the money to do that. I mean,
no,
you know, if Tom Likas ever got arrested, I'd have him out in 5 minutes, and I'd be having the cops and the jailers scared shit of him, you know? But if Joe Blow gets arrested and, you know, he doesn't know what to do, he doesn't have any savings, you know, he ends up getting screwed. He ends up, you know, for example, the worst thing that can happen to you is getting arrested on a Friday or over the weekend, you know, because then you can't get into court until Monday. So you end up spending 2 or 3 days, right? You go into court, you don't have a lawyer, you know, public defender doesn't care about you, and you end up getting a very high bail. You know, like I get a lot of people out without bail, you know. This person who doesn't have a lawyer ends up getting, you know, $100,000, $200,000 bail, and then his family has to come up with the money. They don't have the money. He ends up spending a couple of weeks in jail. I mean, that's the cruelty of the system, and it's not fair.
Hey, that's a travesty,
it is.
Honestly.
Yeah, but like, I mean, reality is that this is something that goes back to the beginning of the country. I mean, if we're going to put people in jail when they get arrested and they have to come back to court for the hearing, the government wants some security. That's what bail is. So if somebody's broke and they don't have connection to the community, how do they know that they're going to come to court? Maybe they're just going to disappear, you see? So that's the unfairness of that. So they may end up having to stay in jail for a month or two until their trial rolls around. I mean, people used to be, in some countries still today, held in jail for a year or two without even being charged with anything, you know?
That's insane.
Happens all the time. But the United States, thank God, we have a system that you have to be, you know, held, you know, for a reasonable bail. So I always argue what's reasonable. And you know that you don't have to put the whole thing. I mean, if a bail is $100,000, you can go to a bondsman, typically, and get the bond for 8 to 10%, which is usually about, let's say, $8,000 to $10,000. That's a lot of money, but at least it's reachable for most people. And bondsmen sometimes will let you make payments or put it on a credit card or something, you know. So that's a good thing. And then you got to get yourself a lawyer, and if it's a serious crime, you know, the lawyer might cost you a lot of money. And at the end, maybe you get acquitted and you go home, but meanwhile, you spent all this money on, you know, the lawyer and the bond and everything else. I mean, that's the cruelty of how it goes. You know, you can get an appointed lawyer or a public defender, and that's guaranteed by the Supreme Court decisions about that. But you're not going to get someone. Well, yeah, but you're not going to get someone that's really necessarily quite as dedicated, you know?
All right. Adam, great points, but I want to ask you the specific question.
Of course.
We can go on all day.
No, it's
but,
okay.
Is it a good idea to have a lawyer, like in speed dial, or as the song tells you that I listen to have it memorized by in your head?
Well,
just
it depends.
In case you
it
get
depends
in trouble.
On your life. I mean, let me give you an example. I have a couple of clients that are marijuana distributors. You know, they have their own shops and whatnot. So,
yeah.
I mean, those are the kind of people that are going to get, you know, into trouble. They're going to get arrested. They're going to get hassled by the cops, right?
Right.
If a woman is a stripper, let's say, or an escort, you know, sooner or later she's going to get hassled by the cops. So, you know, you have to think about yourself. If you're married to a crazy woman and she's calling the police on you all the time, you better have a lawyer handy, you know? But, I mean, if you're an average Joe and you're, you know, doing your job and minding your own business, you know, you've heard of me, you've heard of some other people or whatever, and you call me if you need me, right? So, I mean, you have my number, and, you know, you're going to be sitting in that jail cell, and you're going to say, what was that guy's name again? That's right. I'm going to call the guy from the Likas show, you know?
But,
I mean,
no,
you know, I hope that doesn't happen to you, but I'll be there for you if it does, of course.
Right. Now, I live in Nevada. Do you represent, can you
I can. I'm not licensed in Nevada, but I can, you know, do cases on a special basis if you need me for something important.
Right. Okay. Excellent.
Stay out of trouble, okay? That's the best advice.
No, I run from trouble.
So do you think that I don't know if you're a minority person, but do you think you get treated differently by the police?
I think I'm the exception to the rule, to be honest with you, Adam. I'm African American.
Right.
But the police honestly treats me very nice, I think, because most people probably think I'm white. When they talk to me on the phone, I've got that a lot.
No, but when you're in person, are you light skinned?
No, I'm black as they come.
But I'm just saying, in your interactions in person during your life with the police, do you feel that they were looking at you and saying, you know, something different because of being a black guy?
No, and it's reasons because of, it's the way I carry myself, the way I speak, the way I dress.
Interesting.
So, no, but I know friends of mine, close friends of mine, that they get treated much differently because, I mean, they don't listen to the show. I try to encourage them to listen to you. So they kind of don't know better. They think, like you talked about earlier, where cops pull them over, maybe for, like, looking, talking on their phone or something. Like, man, why you got to, you know, attitude. Like, why you got to be harassing me?
Right.
Why you bother me? So, you know, they don't really know how to act because they're ignorant.
Right.
I mean, to be honest, they don't know any better.
Yeah, that to me is so dumb. Jeez.
Yeah, it is, but I mean, just the reality of it.
Yeah, that's definitely true. You can't win that argument, but I'm glad that you haven't had such a bad experience. That's good. I'm really pleased to hear it.
Well, knock on wood.
Yeah, of course.
All right. Excellent. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks for calling. Tom.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, Tom, you can call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check me out on Facebook. I've been posting all kinds of cool stuff lately. Gary found me, by the way, Tom, an excellent, excellent article about a guy who's in the government of Michigan somehow, who got a DUI and was saying that, you know, even if your blood level's high, that doesn't mean you're drunk. So that was good, especially for an elected official. That's on my Facebook. And you can check me out on the World Wide Web at www.adamlawyer.com. Send me an email, which I read and answer myself, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right, and if you missed any part of Adam, didn't get a chance to call in, don't worry. There's another appearance from Adam coming up on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901 3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's News for Guys. I'm Gary's Dino.
Yes.
The man with the world's largest dick says he can't work or have sex, but he wouldn't have it any other way.
That's not true. He runs the board of this program. He seems to be working. He's working. He's working just fine.
Chocolate Timpson?
Chocolate Timpson. His Easter Bunny self looks like it has a kickstand
every
day.
He's going to have to go up against Roberto Cabrera out of Mexico. 54-year-old man has a 19-inch penis.
By the way, I am not sold yet on
have
this.
You watched the video?
No.
He's got it wrapped up the whole time. It's really weird. Apparently, chafing is a problem. He's essentially a virgin. He attempted to have sex with one broad who ran away scared. She was a scared. And then another broad said it was too painful.
There is an interesting last line of this story from Maxim.
Yeah.
Where it says that Cabrera expresses a wish in the video that might be delusional for a lot of men. He said, I would like to be a porn star.
Yes.
And I think I would make a lot of money in America.
Yeah, he wants to come to the United States.
I think that there is kind of a red flag.
Why? So Suleiman wants to be a porn star.
I know.
Yes.
By the way, doctors are telling him to have a penis reduction so that he can live a normal life. The dude, it's a horse dung. It's
not even that.
It hangs all the way down to his knee.
Trust me, there's an Italian deli just down the street
here
in Burbank. It looks like one of them hanging salami.
Salami? Yeah.
Just, you know, that, I'm not really buying this. I'm just not.
Well, I don't know.
Not yet.
What would it take? Watch the video.
No.
And you could.
No.
You're not going to actually see his penis.
You just say that to try to trick me. So there's that.
You'll see sunsets and rainbows. It's complete opposite.
Yeah, sunsets and rainbows.
It's all good.
I mean, it's like he's riding a donkey.
Your dude's on disability. He can't even work. His penis is so big. He can't work.
It's such. Please.
He can't even wear regular pants.
Simpson has no problem showing up every day. His is a confirmed world record.
A gynecologist is slamming Gwyneth Paltrow for her suggestion that you walk around with vaginal eggs in your pussy.
What?
Yeah.
She's got all kinds of
these jade eggs that she's suggesting that... that chicks wear is $66.
Yeah, she says they boost orgasms, vaginal muscle tone, hormonal balance, and basic feminine energy.
The gynecologist, Dr. Jen Gunter, says you're fucking crazy. You're out of your mind.
Right.
You don't be walking around with eggs in your vagina. It's wrong on a million different levels, including the fact that apparently the eggs can actually get, you know, certain shit on them that will get infections, which will lead to, like, toxic shock.
Yes.
Like the complete opposite of what she's intending.
It's not like this is coming from a person who basically ruined Coldplay and named her kid Apple, so we don't have anything to worry about.
That's true. And in the UK, a 15-minute vaginal treatment is all the rage. It is a laser that they stick inside the pussy. It tightens it up. And then on the outside, clean stick makes everything all nice.
So I guess if you mess up with putting the rocks in there, you could always get it lasered.
I'll give you a 15-minute vaginal treatment.
Yeah, but yours isn't going to tighten anything up.
Not at all.
Yeah, it's the opposite that they're intending to do.
Tom and that dude in Mexico are going to wreck everything.
Right,
and
exactly. Jameson. Yeah. Plentymorenewsforguys.com. And, of course, you can find our podcast at GaryAndDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
Chocolate Timpson?
Chocolate Timpson.